Man is a moon and has a dark side, which he never shows to anybody. Mark Twain.
1. Galgibaga Beach, Goa. 12:15 a.m. I gulp down the dregs of the wine in my glass and close my eyes. A gentle breeze soothes my face, fragrant with exotic spices. The relaxed murmur of my husband and friends echoes beside me. Banter, laughter, and loosened tongues from the drink we've been consuming all evening. "Isn't it time we checked on them?" Paul asks, stretching languidly, his chair scraping and dislodging mounds of sand, sending tiny crabs scuttling in its wake. "Whose turn is it?"
"I'll go. I haven't done mine yet."
I'm loath to open my eyes. "I'm sure they're okay." Lydia's voice, made hoarse and throaty by wine. "All was quiet when I last looked. Rachel said there hadn't been a peep from any of them." "I'd better go anyway. It's been, what, an hour since we looked in on them?" I open my eyes and stand, the sand warm beneath my feet, undulating like silk, spun gold, now rife with shadows. The only lights alleviating the darkness come from the bar shack beside us, the candles at our table and our cottage a few paces away. The other cottages, spotted along the beach but far enough away so we do not feel crowded, are dark, their inhabitants fast asleep, I imagine.
"Anyone for a top-up?"
Paul asks, a slight slur to his voice, swaying on his feet as he stands.
"I'm good, thanks," Yash and Lydia say at the same time.
"Zap," Lydia says, and they both giggle like teenagers. "Grow up," I think sourly, suddenly feeling extremely weary, wanting, despite the beauty of this quiet tropical beach, to be anywhere but here, even back home in cold, rainy England. The hair at the back of my neck rises and I shiver. I'm being watched. Out of the corner of my eye, I see that it's Paul. I release the breath I was inadvertently holding. Paul waves at me, giving me a thumbs up as he stumbles the few paces to the bar shack. The barman, who is slumped behind the counter, snoozing with his head in his hands, snaps to attention when Paul approaches. He smiles, his forehead scrunched in concentration as he reads Paul's lips to make sense of his accent. He nods vigorously and holds up two bottles of wine, one red, one white. Paul pointing to the red, which in the dark glows viscous and rich like blood. The barman's wife, the cook, and their daughter have long since gone home, packing up for the day, after checking that we did not want any more of their spicy fried sardines, their fiery chicken kebabs. Their little girl, bringing plates to our table, had smiled shyly at us. This afternoon, or a quick glance at my phone to check the time, only the time, determinedly ignoring the flashing message icon, yesterday afternoon actually, as it is after midnight, the barman's little one had teamed up with My Mia in the sandcastle competition Yash organised versus Team Zoe and Bella and Team Ajit and Paul. Ajit insisting, when his sisters complained of unfairness, that since he was the youngest and the only boy, he needed a grown-up to help, but he would do most of the work. The barman's daughter was diffident at first, but soon she and Mia were at it with gusto, somehow overcoming the language barrier in the manner of kids, and when they won, she had beamed as wide as Mia, displaying wonky teeth. Rachel had not joined in the activities, of course, glued to her phone with that peculiar focused intensity of teenagers. "Bring her to paradise, and what does she do but stare at that little screen like her life depends upon it?" Paul had joked fondly, Rachel rolling her eyes briefly before her gaze was dragged back to the offending device. I shake my woozy head, not wanting to be reminded of the other events of the day, focusing instead on thinking about the children. They are in our cottage, just beyond, fast asleep, dreaming happy dreams, I hope. The barbecue where the barman's wife was cooking the fish and the chicken has been tidied away, only the scent of smoke, charred meat and grilled chilies perfuming the night air. My gaze shifts to Paul as he lurches his way back to the table, holding the bottle triumphantly aloft. I recoil from the malevolent frown distorting his face. He doesn't know I'm watching him. I look away, down at the sand shifting beneath my feet, pondering what I just saw.